I was teasing Paul and my father about how we have to speak right after lunch. And so one of our responsibilities is to keep everybody awake. And Paul did a good job with that, and hopefully I will be able to also. I was holding a gospel meeting one place a while back, and during my lesson, there was a fella that got up, and he'd walk down this aisle, and he'd walk down that aisle, and he'd come along the back, and he'd walk around this way, and then he'd come down this way, and I'll be honest with you, it was very distracting. So afterwards, I asked one of the elders about that, and he says, "Oh, don't pay him any mind. He always walks in his sleep." But let me tell you something, brethren. I've got a Bible verse for you today that's going to wake you up. I've got a Bible verse today that's going to fire you up. And I've got a Bible verse for you today that if you will believe it, and you'll put it in your mind and put it in your heart of hearts, it will change your Christian life. The verse I'm talking about is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Where the Apostle Paul reminds us, he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Listen to what he says. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." I don't know about you, Mike, when I hear a verse like that, I want to go out and slap fight a tree. You know, you slap fight a tree, you can't win, but boy, you can work yourself into a frenzy. Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." If there's ever a word that we here in these United States can get behind, it's a word called freedom. Now, I appreciate all our brothers, as Paul mentioned, in other countries. But if there's ever a group of Christians who understand the word freedom, it's got to be us. Think about it. America. It is the land of the brave and the home of
freedom.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring. I am proud to be in America because at least I know I'm free. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and keep the steps. And with the girl. No, that doesn't work with that, does it? That just doesn't work with that. But yet, freedom is a word that we can all get behind. And therefore, the verse over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. When Paul says it is for freedom, we have been set free. Now, I realize there's a number of ways that we can look at this verse, and there's a lot of different lessons that we can think about as we think about this particular verse. We could go into the chapter before, in chapter 4, and we can ask the question like Paul asked, "Who's your mama?" You didn't realize that, but that's what he's asking in the latter part of chapter 4. He says, "Who's your mama? Is it Hagar or is it Sarah?" Or we could talk about how that this freedom that Jesus is talking about is not a freedom that leads to license when it comes to liberty and sin. And Brother Adams has already covered that. But this afternoon, my assignment is for us to think about the fact that since Jesus Christ died on the cross and He shed His precious blood for us, that I have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore I am free. Brothers, you have got to believe that. You can't experience Christianity till you understand that particular fact. Over in John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free."
So that means that when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you were baptized for the remission of your sins predicated upon your faith and your repentance and your confession, Jesus says in verse 36 of the same chapter, He says, "And if I make you free, you will be free indeed." And so you got Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 where it says, "It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Now, what do I want you to think about this afternoon? Several years ago, there was a book put out by the guy by the name of Terry Waite. Terry, if you don't remember, was a British hostage negotiator. And what's interesting about him is he went to Iran to negotiate some hostage situations. And guess what? He became a hostage himself. And they chained him to a radiator in a room and only let him off of that chain one time a day to go to the bathroom. And not only was he there one day, he was there for 1,763 days. Chained to that radiator in that room. Now folks, when he was set free, can you imagine the great joy he felt? Can you imagine how every day seemed so wonderful to him? But now imagine this. Imagine he ran into some former captives and they said to him, "You know what? Why don't we have you come back in? Why don't we chain you to that radiator again? Why don't we make you stay here for a little while longer?" What would he say? He'd say, "I don't want anything to do with that anymore. I'm done with that." But yet, folks, as a preacher and as a Christian, I have seen so many brothers and sisters in Christ who are still slaves, who are still chained to their old sins, who are still people who have the attitude that they can't enjoy that peace that passeth understanding. They can't enjoy that abundant life that Jesus promised. That they can't experience the joy that comes with being a child of God. And the reason is they don't believe what Jesus told the Apostle Paul to say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I had to read a book as part of the requirements for my English class, a book called Pilgrim's Progress, a book by John Bunyan. And I don't know if you remember or not, but the main character of that particular story is a guy by the name of Christian. Imagine that. And the main character in this story, Christian, all through the book, he is carrying this heavy load on his back. This heavy burden that he can't get rid of. And finally in the story, you reach the point where that burden rolls off of his back and he's free. Do you remember where it happens in the book? It happens at the foot of the cross. And that burden rolls off of his back and it rolls down a hill into an empty tomb. Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool." Now, do you really believe that? Do you really believe it when Jesus says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll add more burden to your back"? He didn't say that, did he? He says, "I will give you rest." And his explanation for that is, "Because I am meek and lowly in heart." Now, folks, we could spend a whole afternoon talking about what that means, about Jesus being meek and holy or lowly. But the idea of meekness there is the idea that he did everything that his Father asked him to do so we could be free in Christ Jesus. We do not have to carry the burden of our past sins, just like the guy in the story. When we became into Jesus Christ, we had that burden lifted from us and we should never pick up that shackle again. Back in the 80s, there was a lady that was pretty famous because people wrote her letters wanting some advice. Or you probably remember her name, Ann Landers. And she wrote a book about the different letters that were written to her. And she says, a lot of the letters I didn't publish because a lot of those letters were the same thing. About how that there were people who were living with the burden of guilt. She says that this self-imposed punishment was of the worst kind. But we as Christians should never ever carry guilt because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. When I was growing up, oftentimes I'd hear my father preach a lesson entitled, The Land of Beginning Again. And he would make mention of a point talking about how that the writer says, I wish there was some place called the Land of Beginning Again, where I could take all of my sorrows and all of my heartaches and all of my sad griefs and like a coat take them off and leave them at the door never to pick them up again. Folks, I am so very thankful this morning. I am a part of the land of beginning again. Amen. Because I serve the God of the second chance. Now John reminds us in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, if we say that we do not sin, the truth is not in us, and we make him a liar. And I know oftentimes as we live the Christian life, we get upset with ourselves because sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we mess up terribly. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that's right. But I'm just saying there comes times that that's going to happen. So we need to remember the words that John said after that. He says, if we confess our sins. What is he? He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if that didn't convince you, John goes on in chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, my little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate, you have a lawyer, you have a go-between, you have a mediator named Jesus Christ the Lord. And he is the one that is the propitiation, or the one that took your place, the one that paid the debt, the one that sealed the deal, that will take care of that burden of guilt that you may be carrying. I'll close with this particular story because my time is up, but there's a story about a boy and girl that were playing out in the backyard of the grandma's house. And this little boy had a slingshot. And he was going around trying to shoot things, and he wasn't doing a very good job, but all suddenly he spies his grandma's duck. And he put something in that slingshot, and he pulled that slingshot back, and he let it go, and much to his surprise, he hit that duck. Now that duck is dead. Well, his little sister saw this, and they were eating supper, and afterwards, Grandma says something to the little sister about washing the dishes, and she says, Tommy's going to do it for me today, and she whispers in his ear, and says, remember the duck. And that went on for some time. Every time there was something that the sister was supposed to do, she would lean over to Tommy and she'd say, remember the duck. Well, this went on for some time and Tommy started getting tired about it, and he didn't want to tell his grandmother, but he knew the only way that he was going to have any peace in his life was to get this burden off of his back. So he went and talked to his grandmother about it. He says, grandmother, I killed your pet duck and I hid it in the woods. Grandmother says, Tommy, I know that. I saw you do it when you did it. But I was waiting for you to come and talk to me about it. You see, I love you. And I'm going to forgive you. And you shouldn't be carrying the burden of that duck any longer. Folks, the Apostle Paul reminds us, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You want to know the proof of that? Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he says, he that spared not his own son, will he not freely give us all things? Paul also told us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, he says, we are so thankful that you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Well, what happened when we did that? What does he say the first part of that verse? He says, you were the servants of sin. But now in verse 18, he says, now you're the servants of righteousness. Don't forget about the fact you were the servants of sin. A lot of times we go through life carrying a burden we never have to. A lot of times we go through life carrying guilt that we should never have to. The only way you're truly going to experience the peace that passeth understanding, the only way you're going to experience the abundant life that Jesus says He came to give us, is to remember that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. He goes on in the verse, because I got just a few minutes, and I keep preaching as long as a little time up there. He goes on in the verse and he says, and don't be entangled again under the yoke of bondage or slavery. You know, we have a word in our English language that I think a lot of Christians, though they don't actually say they believe in it, but they do, even though it's from a different religion, basically. And it's the word karma. You ever heard of that word karma? It's the idea that when you do good, good things will happen, and you do bad things are going to happen, and somehow or another you got to go through life and even those things out so that the scales will be equal, and then somehow or another you'll find the peace that you need to find. We even have a verse in the Bible that maybe even kind of lends toward that. Was it Galatians 6 and verse 7? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we go through life and we think that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to balance those scales somehow or another, that our good is somehow or another supposed to equal the bad. But here's what happens if you're like me. You keep looking on that side of the scale, and you look at Jesus Christ, and you look at God the Father, and then you look at Jim Farr, and you see that scale getting heavier and heavier and heavier till it almost breaks. I had a teacher at Freed Hardeman University that told me in a psychology class that 75% of the people would be taken out of the psychiatric ward if they would just believe that they were forgiven of their sins. You see, karma is not something that is real if you're a Christian, because the good of Jesus Christ takes place of all the bad that we have done. Doesn't excuse it, but because Jesus Christ died for my sins, the Apostle Paul can say, it is for freedom that Christ has set me free. Amen. Amen.